we're back for another week NRL Live, episode 41. We're going to talk about a round of quite a few upsets, talk about all that, plus the Sharks in crisis. Are they done for 2013? This week we see a heritage game, St. George versus West. We'll take a closer look at the history of the two clubs and a tribute to Ian Walsh, who passed away last week. Plus, we'll preview the rest of round six. Of course, our ever-important Supercoach segment with Tigers MS and I. We'll take a closer look at the 5/8 and halfback position, plus all our ins and outs. And our MS has got a great world of sport for us also. Speaking of Tigers MS, he's with us as always. How are you, mate?
Good. How are you going?
Good, good. And Pete, you've been able to join us also with your Mighty Dragons having another win on the weekend.
Yeah, it's great, mate. It's been in the winning circle 2 weeks in a row. Who would have thought, hey, 2 points ahead of the Dogs at this stage.
Well, the Dragons and the Tigers are very close on the ladder, and we're going to talk about them a little bit later. But let's recap round five. It all started on Friday night. The Seagulls 20 are far too good for a pretty lacklustre Bulldogs outfit 6. The Broncos 32 defeated the Titans 12. That's one of those upsets we were talking about. And Saturday, another one in the Johnny Manor Cup, the Parramatta Eels gutsy 13-6 victory over a distracted looking Sharks outfit, it must be said. And we'll talk about the Sharks in more detail shortly. The Cowboys 30 back in form, defeating the Panthers nil. Another nil scoreline this year. We've seen quite a few of them. And on Sunday football, well, the Rabbitohs just overcame the Warriors out there at Mount Smart Stadium, 24-22. The Dragons getting over the Knights, 19-16. And the Raiders a come-from-behind victory down there at Canberra Stadium on Sunday night, 24-22 over the Roosters. While Monday night football, the score line didn't reflect the game, but the Storm 26 defeated the West Tigers 12, but it was a lot closer than that. And Tigers MS, the Tigers did a bit of slowdown tactics, and it did seem to really affect the Storm, at least for the first 60 minutes. Is that perhaps a way to beat the defending premiers?
It isn't, because they didn't do it. But it might be for... But you're just going to have to play the perfect game if you're going to do that. If you're going to give away those amount of penalties, I'm not saying every one of those penalties was deserved, but if you're going to slow the play the ball down, you have to be perfect in everything else that you do to match the Storm. They were frustrating the Storm quite well. I thought their kicking tactics, slowing it down in that way and putting it dead or putting it in touch as often as possible, was the good way to go. They tried their best in terms of making the tackles and the ruck slower. And it was very slow. It was almost like Melbourne playing Melbourne, but it didn't quite get it right. And so I think it's back to the drawing board to find out how to beat Melbourne.
Yeah, and Pete, two teams that have certainly come from, I guess, outside the eight last year and perform well so far this year, but maybe back to earth a little bit last week in the Knights and the Roosters. Did we maybe overestimate them a little too soon, or is that just a hiccup along their road to a bit of improvement this year?
Well, there are a couple of factors against the Knights on Sunday. They have had a very poor away record. I don't think they've actually won a game on the road since about last July. So you've got that factor in there. And they're also, of course, without Danny Gudiris and Wayne Bennett, once again, just can't seem to beat his apprentice coaches. Steve Price has now got a 3-0 record against him. Anthony Griffin from the Broncos has also got a very good record against Wayne Bennett coach teams. I think that I don't know about the Knights this year. They're still, I think, finding their feet a little bit. I think their forward pack was made to look a little bit old the other day, actually. The Roosters, well, gee, they looked dynamite the previous week against Parramatta. But I really don't know what happened in this game against Canberra. Canberra, as I know only too well, are a very tricky proposition on their own home territory. And 16-0, the lead that there was at halftime the other day is not a massive lead in the modern game.
No.
And Canberra just kept at them. They do have some quality players, McCrone, the hooker. But I think the Roosters will be fired up for a massive game on Friday night. Looking forward to it, actually.
Tigers MS, another team that probably underwhelmed on the weekend is the Cronulla Sharks, but perhaps with good reason. The coach has come out and basically said, look, it's far too distracting. We just can't compete on a weekly basis with all the issue with, I guess, the drugs crisis there. Can we just put a line through them? Is their season over for 2013?
No, far from it. I'll put a line through them if they actually lose any players. But honestly, they should just, the players, have nothing to worry about. Yes, it might be distracting having all this stuff hanging over your head, but just play and don't worry about it, and everything else will sort itself out. It's easy to say from here, but you just have to get on with it. I think we've discussed it before on this show about Shane Warne's ability to keep off-field and on-field separate. When his life falls apart off-field, he was having one of the best Ashes series of his life. So it's quite doable to put those distractions to the side. Flanagan needs to find that one thing that the team can count on. They almost have to go to siege mentality, I think, even this early in the season.
Yeah, their complaint, Pete, is that they just can't get any training sessions in, basically, because they've got so many meetings with the ASADA and various different issues going on. They can't even get on the training paddock together.
Yeah, well, that's what they're saying. I'm not sure whether Flanagan was running a little bit of a smoke screen for his players. So they've had two losses in a row now. Certainly without Carney the other night, they looked quite a deal worse than they had done the previous 2 weeks. But once again, I agree with what Tigers RMS has said there, is that there is no excuse for this. We look back to 2010 and Melbourne were told, you've just lost your premierships. You'll be playing for no points this year. And yet we're able to string together quite a lot of wins in that year, and certainly would have finished off the table had they been allowed to get points. So I think they've just got to try and focus and not raise it as an issue. I didn't think that was a smart tactic by Flanagan at all.
Yeah, it certainly put the spotlight on them, and it doesn't get any easier this week against the Seagulls, who are pretty solid against the Bulldogs on last Friday night. Well, guys, speaking of this week's games, it is, I guess, a heritage round, and the West Tigers are going to be facing the St. George Illawarra Dragons. But the history is going to be looking more on the West and St. George side of things. And there is quite a bit of history with the two clubs. I can run through the exact amount of games played, both West and St. George and also West Tigers and St. George Illawarra. 199 games played. So this will be the 200th game on Sunday there at the SCG. And 74 wins for Wests or West Tigers, and 118 wins for the St. George team, whether merged with Illawarra or on their own, and plus 7 draws. So it's going to be a fantastic game, and I guess with also, unfortunately, the passing of Ian Walsh, certainly one of the game's greatest ever players, the hooker. He was aged 80, and he died in, he was back in his home town, and we've got some clips that we're going to link to. He's actually was from a very small town called Hagara in the Forbes region, and we've got some clips that we'll link to at our website www.pulleygsports.com about Ian Walsh. And Pete, obviously he played for the club you support, and sad loss not only with his time in the on the field, but he also coached Parramatta, and he was a columnist in both the Daily Telegraph and the Big League magazine for the best part of a decade.
That's right. Ian Walsh is one of those players. It's a foundation player, well, not a foundation player of your club, but I guess a foundation stone of your club. He was involved, of course, in a great year from 56 to 66, playing in grand finals from 62 to 66. and captain coaching St George to victory in the 66 grand final after the success of Norm Proven. And it was also, unfortunately for him, the captain coach of the St George team that was beaten by Canterbury in the final in 1967. Great sportsmanship though shown at the end of that match, but are controversially beaten. And many people say they should have been given a penalty in front of the post to make the win. Apparently the referee of the day apologised, and Walsh said to him, said, don't worry about it. He said, we would have been beaten next week anyway. So, his very fine reputation in rugby league actually represented Australia from Yugara, prior to coming to Sydney. And was known as one of those very, very tough, but very fair players of his era. Captain coach, as I said, St George to premiership in 66. Captain coached Australia to their first Ashes series win as a standalone Australian team. And said, I always remember his columns in the Telegraph. Was never backward in coming forward with an opinion on anything. Basically, didn't particularly like Brian Smith, as I recall, when he was coach of St George. But back in the late 80s, when St George weren't doing very well, I always loved his loyalty, and they had the tips there from everyone writing the paper. And Ian Walsh, no matter how bad St George were doing, I'd say, for example, he was writing in the beginning of this year up against Melbourne in the first round, he put St George by two. You could never tip against them, but always tip them by two when you really knew in his heart of hearts they were going to get beat this way. So that I'll always respect him. It's been said during the week he only just missed out on the starting team of the greatest Australian team of all time and was in the top 100 players. So Vale Ian Walsh, and his memory will live on, and he's noted on the Legends Walk at the back of Cogger Oval. So all the power to him.
Well, it is probably fitting that the old rivalry West St George. Speaking of that game and Tigers MS, I guess we can look in recent times, 2005, 2010, some pretty big finals games, pretty modern day rivalry as well, would you say, between the two clubs, West Tigers and St George?
I would definitely, and I say the rivalry did start, well, because they're both joint ventures or amalgamated teams or whatever you want to call it. In 2005, Dragons had dominated all season, and the Tigers were on their run, of course, at that stage. That was a really good game, atmosphere-wise, and had everything else. And then, 5 years later, you had a St George team on the charge that everyone thought would do the job quite easily, and it was a tough game. And they had a really good second half to come at the top of the Tigers. It is getting to that stage of almost creating a whole new rivalry, a couple more years and a couple more big games between these two, and it could turn into like a modern-day, Bulldogs-Parramatta kind of game each time it comes up.
And it is, the game is celebrating the 50th anniversary of Western Suburbs' loss in that grand final in 1963 to St George 8-3. And, of course, Pete, there's a lot of controversy. We kind of talked about it earlier in the year when we talked about modern-day crisis in not just regards to the drugs but the betting. And, Noel Kelly, or Ned Kelly, as his nickname was known, of course, the West Hooker, he still believes that... basically, he was his team was robbed in that game about a Johnny King try.
Absolutely. The speculation was, St George had been beaten by Western Suburbs during the year, as you'd be aware, and some of our listeners may be aware, the Maggies were known as the millionaires in those days, and were trying to replicate the style of play that St George had, this heavily defensive-based play. There had been speculation in the lead-up to the match. There had been a lot of money gone on St George in the few days before the grand final. And with Johnny King, the great winger who'd scored tries in successive grand finals previously, was tackled, and the West players, swear, Noel Kelly would be one of those, Arthur Summers another one, but the referee said, let him go, in other words, he's, I'm sure that was the term for tackle back then, sort of thing. And, and he's got up and run again and scored. And of course, the so there was a massive controversy out of that grand final. And of course, we have our statue from that game of the Gladiators taken by the late John O'Grady with Norm Provan and Arthur Summons and embraced at the end of the match. But Summons is allegedly saying that you shouldn't have won it to Provan, but they're still good mates today, I think.
I believe those two gentlemen are going to be on the game plan this week, reliving that. So definitely very historic game, and obviously with the trophy coming out of it, and that game on Sunday should be a really good one. Two teams that have been a little up and down this year, but should be pretty similarly matched, I would think. And guys, it's going to lead us to this week's round. Brisbane v North Queensland, first of all. Another bit of a Queensland derby, I guess you would say. And Tigers MS, it's the Cowboys look like they've returned to some form, but that was with Robert Louis picked. He's back out for 4 weeks now. Can they come down to Brisbane and find a win against an equally rejuvenated Broncos team?
Yeah, I actually think for the first time the Broncos actually looked pretty good last game I saw. And I think, yeah, that Morgan does not offer nearly the amount that Louis does. Thurston's going to have to play a big hand in everything that they do if they're to get the win away from home.
And Pete, the other game there on the Friday night is the Roosters v the Bulldogs. Bulldogs have been struggling of late, only the one win, but I guess the Roosters also coming off a loss. Is there any way that the Dogs can get over the line?
Well, there's been a lot of talk this week because of Sonny Bill Williams playing against Canterbury for the first time since he walked out on them back in 2008. The Bulldogs, they've been disappointing this year. I think they're really missing Sam Cassiano and James Graham. Well, I assume that they are because they're the two players missing and they're just not playing as well as certainly as they did last year. But I think other teams are a little bit more up on Canterbury's tactics this year as well. These dummy runners and so on, their players are being read a lot better by opposition teams. The Roosters, for mine, I said, really not sure what happened against Canterbury the other day. I'm just like, that was a blip. They should beat Canterbury. They're serious this year, but they should beat Canterbury. I think they'll beat them by about 8 or 10. I'd like to see Michael Jennings get a bit more space. Mitchell Pearce, under a bit of pressure for his origin spot this year, has been great. And they're combining quite well with Malone. So, we'll see what happens there. I'm sure Sonny Bill will get a decent reception from the Bulldogs fans. Can't wait to see some of their banners on Friday night.
Yeah, well, Saturday night, there should be an absolute crackerjack match, and it's the 7:31 Souths v Melbourne. Tigers MS, who's going to win and why?
Well, last week I said either of them wouldn't lose till the representative break. Obviously, this came up, and I didn't look at the draw too well. So unless it's a draw, I'll be proven wrong. But actually, I do think Souths will probably get over the top of the Storm. I think the Storm had a very tough game on Monday. Billy Slater's under an injury cloud. And Souths, I don't think they're going to fall asleep, but they had the last couple of games when they hit the lead. They were dominating the Warriors, and they did fall asleep. So I don't think that's going to happen against the Storm. Both sides have named 86 players per side, so it'd be interesting to see who actually plays. I think Souths probably about 4.
Yeah, and the Sunday game, guys, I'll get all your tips. West Tigers v St. George. Pete, I guess you're picking Dragons by 2.
I think it will be a close one. The loss of Jared Beale is a big one for them.
Yes.
Just click into gear. Tigers, if you're looking for a weakness in the Dragons, a big one at the moment. To tell you what, I'd be bombing Daniel Vito with everything you've got. But I think the Dragons should just hang on for a win, particularly with Benji out. I think that can make it very hard for the Tigers. I think the Dragons can by about 6 or 8.
Yes, Tigers MS, no Benji Marshall. Does that mean that there's no way around for them? Or will Tim Maltzer move in the halves, allowing James Tedesco to move to his favoured fullback position?
I think that's what will happen, and they'll bring in another winger. Not sure who they'd put in there, but that's what I kind of think. Bodine Thompson also won't be playing. She'll take the early clear and get 1 week, and so they'll bring up, Matthew Bell might slot into the second row somewhere, or Locke and Adam Blair goes to second row. I can't see the Tigers winning. They played well against Melbourne, but I think it might have taken a fair bit out of them.
Well, I think you're right, but I think the Tigers have got a lot to play for, and they might get over the line. We'll do all the tips online, www.paulygsports.com. And I can tell you that Pete's got a pretty sizable lead at the moment, 29 plays 24 for both Tigers MS and myself.